We'll cage the rage, we'll dry all tears, we'll end all suffering, destroy all fears, we'll stop the greed, we'll end all wars, and this earth will be paradise like it was before. Oh my goodness, Glory Gloriotsky, oh my goodness, have yourself whatever it is, take it in. I am. And for that, tonight, I'm in a rare mood. You know, I say that every week. But first, before I get into it, because sometimes I feel like a horse in one of those gates where I just can't wait to get started, but I have to do my work, which is to tell you who you're listening to. Well, you're listening. Oh, that's me. You're listening to BBSRadio.com, and this is the Mission Possible Radio Hour, and your host, Boss RJ, is here this evening. Well, I get a little tired of having to say, do you come here often? There's a symphony that I hear in my head. What? When I'm in June, right in tune. I'm in June. Ha ha, and I'm going to zoom right in on you. Huh. Has it been an exciting week? Last time I was talking to you, I had Don Nikolov on. He was telling me all about what Obama was up to. But since then, I had to consult with Reverend Roxy, my other half, the half that truly keeps me guided through the truth and the way. And I did my homework. I really did my homework, and I prayed on this thing. And I've come up with a decision. I have to go with the man. I have to watch the man. I have to pray for the man. Because, boy, oh boy, he's keeping some dangerous company at Democratic Party. And so as I say that, I say it is not that I am for any party, because that is an unwritten constitutionality situation, you see. This is what a lot of people don't understand, that the boss understands, that there's a constitution that is based on the inspired super document that they point out all the time. And then there's the unwritten constitution, which is based on customs and traditions and ideas in which civil men and now women agree to behave in certain ways so that they can continue to lead. Now, I am going to watch this race and pray over America. That's what I'm going to say about that. And with that, I really just want to get to the anniversary. One is my anniversary, which is coming up June 17th. You know, I did it on June 17th. We have come up on 1 year. God knows I have to say it now. God bless Don Newsom for taking an interest in the boss and Mission Possible and holding me up. And it will not be forgotten. It will not be forgotten. I can't tell you. I only had one sponsor, and that sponsor said, I don't want to hear nobody calling you on the phone. And I was like, well, I don't know if the show's going to get popular if I tell them all that I don't want them to call in. And then we had an epiphany. It seems now that it is okay. I have gotten okay that people can call and ask me questions. And I'm finding that as I listen back to these tapes, I am saying, oh, if it was me and I didn't know what I know, I'd be asking a lot of questions. I'd be like, whoa. But it may be that because we are listening to BBSRadio.com that all of you out there, you already know. And that's a glorious thing. So when I speak, I don't have to explain. I just have to move on as I tell you the delicious story of the untold story that's never been told. It's being played out right before us. Bold. Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. You know, I have told you before, I have, may have not said it in a long time, but Aristotle Onassis said it very well. He said, you can't, you know, place a bet on a horse after it done won the race. This is what's interesting about this whole process of electing our leader. In the eyes of God, this may be a disgraceful thing, but I don't know. This is the American system of government, and so it works itself out in a different way. the kingdom of God has been, and I have known, and Boss R.J. knows, and Reverend Roxy knows, and Dr. Len Horowitz, and Don Nikoloff, and everybody that listens to BBSRadio.com knows, that that is so impermanent. What's going on, what we're seeing go on, is so impermanent. And so when I prayed about Obama and what he's getting ready to face, it seems that as of June 18th, they're going to come out with some big hoo-ha, you know, some brouhaha, the last-minute little effort to uncover something within his past. And as you know, I have said many times, and we'll say it again this evening, our deeds travel with us from afar. What we have been makes us what we are. And my gecko guru just went click, 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 click. It is an incredible process, and we know that there are forces in the world that are able to sling excrement, or as Dr. Len said, fecal matter, a long way. For the Hail Mary of fecal matter is being swung at Obama, and if he passes this test, it seems like they all loaded up on June 18th. I did some homework, and I'm like gonna not put my foot in it and say one way or the other. It's a shame that this kind of thing goes on, but I say bravo, bravo to you two for taking the abomination off of the airwaves of the man who is speaking this way. It is more obviously Bush shit. Forgive me, but that's what Boss RJ knows, and we know a lot of other people out there that subscribe and know Bush shit when they see it. So if you agree with me, give me a call and tell me what kind of Bush shit you think this might be. This is, for me, like P2 Vatican Bush shit. And it, to me, is smells of something that's been going on and has an anniversary even coming up June 14th, 15th. For a lot of you who don't know and may want to know, and I'm going to tell you right now, get your fannies over to MaeBrussell.com. It's over. That she's not the queen of conspiracy. She is Perry Mason. She is and will be vindicated. And her cancer that was given to her by our American government, and the cancer that Jack Ruby suffered from, and all the murders, and everything is going to unravel like a cheap soup, because it's, to this day, still going on. And what I'm talking about now is a lot of you can type in and go and find out who the Prime Minister of Italy is right now. And we just had the Pope over here, and that's a German Pope. We had a Polish Pope who used to work for IG Farben, which used to be Solvay Chemicals, and the war ended, but it was not lost. It was just kind of like put off, because they realized they don't have to go around, you know, destroying everything anymore. They can just take care of who they want to. They can get their space, their Liebestraum, whatever it is, their room to move and groove. This is what it's about, folks. And, you know, I had a pleasant dinner party I went to and was talking to a man who was at involved in the Hurricane Katrina thing, and he said some things to me that made me want to have him on my show. It is absolutely very, very disturbing, the kinds of things that went on in Louisiana, and I know that there are a lot of people who hold on to your faith. You know, I know that people are not believing you when you tell them the god-awful things that you've been through. But that's only because they're naive, because they've never read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. They've never read the chapter on medical experiments. They've never opened up any of these books to see what it was that the Germans were doing over in Germany and in other parts of the world to people there. And the despicable is not spoken about, because most of the people that they were doing it to are dead, and the ones that are now holding up and calling themselves some remnants of that fascist victimization are not actually anything more than the fascists and Nazis themselves. And so this is what Mae Brussels was trying to say, and she was saying it way back when. And she has people who call themselves Brussels sprouts. I mean, she passed in 88 and of a cancer that came on her. And she was a woman who had a lot to do with watching the news. And this is what's most important. That's why Mission Possible Radio Hour tries to keep it current, tries to look at what's going on. So now I'm looking at the fact that Obama is our candidate for the Democratic Party. And they have sorted through all of their laundry and everything and got the whole thing together, and now they've had their meetings and somehow or another have made some kind of peace. Now, I don't know if anybody really understands this, but the only way you can really understand this is if you go back to 1960, and instead of looking at JFK, look at Johnson. Because that convention back then and that election of 1960 is going to give you an idea of who the major players were and who was doing what. You know, Johnson said power is where power goes, you know, and it stays where it is. And the majority leader worked his way up in a very crafty way. So, you know, if one is to say, oh, maybe they're repeating the same scenario, maybe they can't help it, maybe there is a thing that P.D. Ouspensky talked about being the eternal reoccurrence, that one more time we have a chance to play this out and to do something different. We looked at his cards, you know, BBSRadio.com has Robert Camp on, and he does the cards. I have a friend who keeps me in tune. I have to go to her, and I have to say, well, what's the story with all of these people, you know? And I know that Robert would really appreciate it, and he probably already knows it. These people are like sitting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, right in a row on the life spread. Or is it the heaven spread? I'm not sure. I could be giving out bad information, but we'll have a show on it. What is that? Life. On the life spread, for those of you who follow the cards. And she showed me. She said, no, you got to look at this. You got to really look at this. And so I started looking at it, and I was like, wow. Because we have had so many enlightening and happy moments in having this information at our fingertips. This is like what verifies what Dr. Len Horowitz is talking about, and what Marco Rodin is talking about, and Nassim Harriman is talking about. It's all vibrations. It's all numbers. It all can be figured. It's all just spiraling and spiraling and coming around, like the figure eight that Dr. Len talks about. Well, for a moment, I'll tell you who I am. This, you're listening to, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Boss RJ, and this is the Mission Possible Radio Hour, and I am in the middle of a historical rant, and I'm giving you some background. Part of it is I'm a Mae Brussels, so that takes you back to Mae Brussels. When you look and you type into your search engine, for those who are listening live, you can do it with me right now. Type into your search engine P2 Scandal Mae Brussels, and it will take you to a page, and then hit the one that you like that has to do and find out about the P2 scandal, and then you understand why the Pope was visiting George Bush Jr. in the White House. The Vatican for a long time has been trying to figure out where all its money's gone. You see, it has been said historically and will continue to be said, if you want to know what happened back in 1963, if you want to know what happened back in 1942, when the Nazis capitulated, and because they had so many delicious toys. I mean, oh my goodness, they had so many ways to kill. I was thinking I was going to bum y'all out tonight and read you some passages, but I don't think I really need to. What I really need to do is tell you is that I'll give you an idea of just how history and vengeance and delicious it all is to these people, and how they work it, and how in some way, we just want to say no to all of it. I just want a new party. See, it's so unconstitutional to even have political parties. Somehow or another, I just want to dissolve them all, and we all just get together, and we just elect Ron Paul. Now, the only reason it scares me a little bit is because he's Texas, but I'm not going to rant on about that because I can take you back to another show when I get organized, I'll take you back to another show where I was talking about Texas. A brilliant piece, really, very poetic, very logical. But I'm going to take a place in history that was just when the whole Hitler just come into power, you know, and he'd worked his thing, and they already had the fire, and everybody's, you know, rallying up, and America's backing him. I mean, you know, you got financiers. I'm doing what they want to do, laissez-faire. Don't tell me what to do. I'm all involved in this. You know, I never really agreed with them losing the revolution. I don't even think the British lost the revolution, you know. You guys just, you know, you was a long way off, but now we're here. And that's how it goes. And these guys never get over losing the war. But anyhow, there was a World War One, and Germany was stripped and told he couldn't make no more guns, no more toys, no more tanks, no more for you. We're going to take everything away from you. And that just didn't set right with Hoover. And I ain't talking to J. Edgar Hoover. And so what happens to everybody? These munition dealers, this is what's hurting for certain. My goodness, you tell Germany it can't rearm, what's America going to sell? What are these guys going to do? What's the big ironworks going to do? Where does all the DuPonts and the this ones and the that ones go? Or the Buckeye Steel Casting Company and all these other people, the railroads, it all just gets all messed up if you have peace. But yeah, you just can't come out and say, no, we want another war. We ain't finished. They collapsed. You know, it was treason. You know, and we had just done it. Well, you'll get another chance. Yeah, you gonna fund me? Yes, we'll fund you. And put that little funny man, the big mouth over there, the one that really stirs up the people. Boy, he got away with words. Who are they talking about? Adolf Hitler. And Adolf, he had a real soft spot for Jews, and he had a real soft spot for Jewish bankers. He just had a soft spot, not a soft spot, but a sore spot. He was like, God, couldn't you just give me the money and leave these people out of it? You know? And you go to yourself, well, how does that all make it all what it is today? Because it's still going on. Because when you really think about it, these men who are in power, they go all the way back to George Washington's time when they started disagreeing. Federalists, no. You know? Anti-federalists. No, I like you on this, but I don't like you on that. I'm going to have my own party. And we're just going to have to duke it out for the presidency. In the presidency, if you lose, you get to be second, man. I get to be the first guy. And then you get to do what I want to do because I'm controlled by this thought. And you do what you do because I'm controlled by that thought. And they just worked it out. But then they realized that there was something else going on both sides of the parties that had nothing to do with politics. It had to do with munitions, the things that are needed in order to make it all happen, you know, because this was the way it was to go. And after World War One, we saw the desolation of countries and the destruction, and it just made them giddy that they could just start up again and this time bring the whole world under their submission. This is how men think. This is why we have these problems, and we never seem to tire of war. Is it true? Is it true? You know? Americans were trying to, back then, try to keep aloof. We had a policy, a tradition, an unwritten constitution that we should be isolationists, that we shouldn't cooperate with these maddening bankers and financiers and their whole ideas of making money, and they make the money and the profits of the munitions factories. Now, so in doing this, Congress comes to its senses and invokes the Nye Committee. So you're reading about the Nye Committee, and you find out that these men, back both sides, started all kinds of intrigue to get the wars going and the conflicts going so that they can... This is how they work. This is how they work. And so you have this commission. And on this commission, in 1934 and 1935, at that particular time, his name was, the lead counsel person was, you got it, Alger Hiss. And he was the man who was prosecuting the munitions manufacturers. Now you speed up history. The war is supposedly over. But not really. And you find Alger Hiss in a load of deep, deep fecal matters. And when you look at it, you have him being smeared as being a communist and a communist sympathizer and had associated with and In the middle of all of that, you got the Crusader. Who's the Crusader? You got Nixon in the middle of it all, right? I'm just kind of reminiscing because this is June. This is when all this stuff happens. And a lot of it happens around George Bush Sr.'s birthday, you see. The man whose name is on the CIA building. And his name is there rightly because he was there when it all got started. So he's watching this thing. This is better than a D.W. Griffith Birth of a Nation, you know. This is more than just the New World Order. This is the satiation of a bloodlust that is left over from a time. It's almost like we interrupted them. Gosh, Russia just didn't fold. It just didn't crumble. And they wasn't able to get a handle. And if you read history, it had everything to do with timing. It had everything to do with Hitler's indecision. It had everything to do with timing. It was as if he was trying to throw the war, trying to exhaust Germany into some kind of situation where he could get away. And that's what Mae Russell talks about, too. He talks about the fact that he never died in a bunker, and they never found his bones, and there's been many, many commissions and things to go on. But this P2 scandal, for those of you who may have said, well, I've been reading a long time here, I see it makes sense. You have to understand something. In the middle of the P2 scandal, you got to put Chicago, you got to put Illinois right there. And when you do that and you move up in years and you get to the incident in Omaha, Nebraska, in 88 or 89, the Franklin incident with Larry King, you can see this theme running through the whole picture of our government, that there is something going on. And the reason why nobody's really standing up is because everybody knows how nasty it is. It's almost difficult to begin to articulate what has been going on. And, you know, Aristotle Onassis is always chuckling about it, saying, you know, the ordinary man, he can't even begin to conceive what we do, you know. And it is very true. We see the evidence of it in the dead bodies that mount up or float up or get stuffed in this or are mutilated beyond belief. These are the messages, and these are the same things that went on in Italy and in Germany. And now today we will look at the Prime Minister of Italy, and we can see a man who has outlived one of the biggest scandals ever and is a multi-billionaire. And it's the same as looking at, like, you know, Reagan or Bush assuming leadership, knowing how absolutely connected they are to the hit teams and the assassination squads. It amazes me that none of the Congress seems to want to go back and do somewhat of a review, oversight, a history 101. It really rankles me that we have a Supreme Court that has been bought and keeps its hands on, you know, sitting on their hands. They are supposed to be, in terms of what we formed it to be, a judicial review, and that we should be able to petition this particular body of men and now women. And it seems as if they are so supreme that they are so far out there that one doesn't see them at all. And yet everything that is going to adjust and readjust us, the big changes that are coming, that are swooping across the nations, the one that we've already had and the ones that are being promised by both sides. And I'm like, whew. And then it seems that there's enough mud to throw at all sides. I mean, McCain and his wife, you know, Keating 5, and then the whole prescription drug thing is going to be flown in there, and then you got the real estate thing and what you was doing with who, and everybody's slinging and slinging and slinging. And while they're doing that, there's one who's sitting above, like I sing in my song, you know, is sitting on the throne. The master of love and hate is in our face. We have a decision to make. I've been singing that for so long, my goodness. And finally, these things are materializing. That's the beauty. Right now, I'm not sure whether we are seeing the real power of the mainstream media as they backpedal their way back to the truth because their little proverbial laptops are hanging out. You know, they're going to have to start making sense of this nonsense. They aren't going to be able to overlook it. It has to be addressed because we have a future generation to explain to how we conduct ourselves. And that's what's really important, is to really understand how you conduct yourself. So, it was on June 14th and 15th that Mae Russell, and the particular tape that was, and that was, oh no, I'm sorry, it was the first day of summer, excuse me, 6/21/82. And I'm just going to give you a little sampling of what this woman is saying. Good evening, this is Mae Russell. You see, one of the reasons I have to do this, because BBSradio.com is so specific that even though this incredible woman has this incredible archive that everyone should listen to religiously until they get it, until they understand that these men and women are still here, you know, I have to do what I do, which is to cleverly get Mae's truth out there, because every other researcher that is getting to the truth now will have her to thank. If they go back and redo their research, they will see that the names that they are throwing around now, the names that were back there, and the names that keep falling through history all the way up to 2008, you know? When I hear Hillary Clinton, before I even understood who Hillary Clinton was in terms of her power, in terms of what she is and what makes her powerful, and how she ended up being over there with Robert Kennedy, and in the Democratic Party, he switched from Massachusetts to New York. She went from Arkansas to New York, but she came through Chicago. Before she was that, she was a Barry Goldwater girl. And before that, you know, she was just working it. And whatever she believed in it because she was indoctrinated in it, and it worked for her. It's not to say the same is not true for any of the other candidates that are out there, for anybody else that's living in America. What you believe is what you experience, and what you experience is what you believe. Now, last week I talked about self-deception, you see, to the point where you can deceive yourself so well that you believe the lie that you are telling is the truth, and you can say it with such conviction that you can get a whole lot of other people to believe you. And once that lie becomes a truth in the mouth of others, and it is their truth, they will believe it because they don't have anything to stop them, because they believe the liar. This is the nature of America. This is the nature of free speech. This is the nature of the whole idea of what Joseph Campbell said. We need, in essence, to have a new myth to replace the fall. Because Adam and Eve is not going to explain this myth. Not for long. You see, so we have a new Genesis on our hands. And she brought to light Watergate. One week after, she went straight to the top to Nixon, 1 week after, not through assumption, but good investigative work. She went through these people. She's done so much to commune with us through her archives. This is the beauty of what it is that I now have an opportunity to do, to leave an archive. Hers, 5 discs, $50, challenge you, get up to snuff, MP3 it, put it in your iPod, keep it forever. You researchers out there, all I can tell you is that she took the news apart as it was going down, and she weaved the story, because they had to live it, they spun it. Just like my father used to say, standing on a lie is like standing on an ice cube in the middle of the ocean, you're bound to fall off. What's this P2 scandal? This is the Vatican scandal. This is the story of how they had to rearrange the popes because the money was missing and people were starting to get suspicious. Now, money never comes up missing. It just kind of changes locations and changes ownership. And like I've been telling all of my listeners, Never before in the history of America have we seen an opportunity for the theft to be so great and for the loss to be so great at the push of a button. Forget pushing the button on the atomic bomb and all of that. Think about the person that's holding the key to your money. You know? You ever kick back and think about that? It's necessary because we gotta get the key back. You know, we gotta work this thing out, and it's gonna be painful, but if we don't do it now, oh my goodness. And the other side of it is that we have to really understand what this story is and what it has been and why, even to this day, there are a lot of us out here who know that the kind of bunk has been thrown has led up to the kind of tragedies that we have experienced all over the world in railway stations and in airports and in our places of work and where we eat. And when you begin to do your homework and you begin to listen to May, it begins to make sense when you see that, you know, if there is and was a Gaddafi, it is only because there was a Sandhurst. And because there was a Sandhurst, there was a Gaddafi where he was trained. Well, when you look and you say, well, why would British intelligence be training a Libyan man, a man to then go and set up, snatch away a monarchy and set up something, and then why would America support this man and then turn around and make him the enemy and have him practicing and doing a lot of leftist kind of things in the name of terrorism over in other parts of the world in the name, and it suits purpose. Libya was an oil-rich country, and we wanted the oil. We want to ship it. So you look at who owned that oil and who was doing their work there, and May helps you out. She'll tell you. Nice thing about Mae Brussels, boy, her bibliography, and she sets it up, you know. And it's the kind of thing that even Don Newsom and his whole network is offering all of us as hosts. Once we get in tune, your archives, which, you know, I encourage all people who are listening to go and spend the $24.95 for the current archives. The others are free. You can go see what you're missing. He gives you 2005, 6, and 7 for free. And 2008 is current, and you're going to want them because the kind of information that you hear on bbsradio.com is the kind of information when put in your head and when you start hearing other people say things, like when they knock on your door and say, get on the bus, and you say, who are they? And they say, well, we're the so-and-so-and-so's connected to the DIA of the FBI, the CIA. You'll be able to understand, oh, yeah, Boss RJ told me that you took that course a long time ago. I didn't know that, Jack, you know, and it's your neighbor telling you to get on the bus, you see. That takes you back to Treblinka. It takes you back all the way to the Warsaw Ghettos. It takes you back to where they loaded everybody up on the trains nice and orderly on the promise of getting something to eat. I know you say, oh, my goodness, boss, you're on a loop. But this is still going on. This is what I want to tell you. This is what's going on, only it's even more sophisticated, and they don't have to put anybody on a train or a boat. They don't have to take anybody anywhere. So I'm cautioning America, and this is not paranoia. It isn't paranoid to know that people are trying to kill us, that they're trying to eliminate us. This is the kind of folly. This is why we've been able to contaminate the air. This is why they have the whole chemtrails. And I really do think it has something to do with cosmic rays and their whole idea of what they're doing up in space and how it all works when you're working with the lasers. You know, it's kind of like they can heat stuff up, you ignite the atmosphere, you got the CO2 content just right, and boom, you got the Big Bang, you know? I mean, and you're taking away 100,000 people's air for maybe 5 minutes or so, you know, it'll all heal. It's kind of like this shift that you go through, and these, like I told you folks, I keep on telling you, listen to them. I haven't archived them to the point where you know what I'm talking about, but trust me, if you were to listen from June 17th of last year to now, you would see that I am trying to tell you it's still going on today. And the kind of things that are happening, Katrina, that was just like one big Jonestown. And I'm having a guest on that's going to talk about this because, you see, the pictures that we saw and the looting and everything, you really have to understand these people sat waiting for days for help. And help. And this is what America knows. That's why I don't want America to go to sleep. I want you to tell your stories. I and tell your stories to Barack Obama. Tell him how you were on the road with the socks and the help and everything, and they wouldn't let you in. Or call me and tell me and corroborate the stories that a lot of you heard, the bombs, that you heard the charges that broke the levee, that you heard the boom, boom. Call. Talk to somebody about it. Or that you saw people that tried to help with bullet holes in their cars. Call and tell somebody about it. This is the opportunity. Because we have no other choice but to have a voice in what's been going on forever. And to do it, you have to stand up, America. You want change? First you have to redeem yourself. You want something different? First you have to explain what it is we have now. You can't just like a cat just cover up the shit in the kitty litter box and just explain it away by some type of, you know, jet fuel. Or, there was a lone nut. Or, boy, that was a real serious coincidence. Or, we knew about them, but we were asleep at the wheel, made a mistake. Oh, well, I understand. But if you begin to study May, and that's what I'm doing, we went out of May and we're into June, and June was, and always has been, a year of skullduggery. I think they do it just for Bush's birthday, you know, June 12th. I mean, anniversary of the O.J. Simpson, Nicole Simpson. You can tell what kind of day it is, June 12th. A lot of things happen on June 12th. Pentagon Papers happened on June 12th. Imagine George Bush opening up his papers. Nixon didn't think to see it was anything until they put the fire up underneath him. And when you look at that, you say, well, why would it bother George Bush that they be talking about the Pentagon Papers? Think about it, folks. CIA all the way. But see, since then, and this is what everybody has to understand, we don't rant and rave at the CIA no more. They're kind of impotent. They've all been swallowed up. The FBI's been swallowed up. The state police have been swallowed up. Everybody's been swallowed up, and everybody now is reporting to the one. And that one is the NSA, as far as I'm concerned. You see what I'm saying? And from there, they handle it. And there they make the decisions. And, I mean, I don't know why it doesn't bother anybody else, you know. Maybe because y'all done gave up, but I'm not giving up. And that's why I take this time to do this every Sunday, and we'll continue to do this. And I know a lot of you may recognize my voice and know me from Dr. Len Horowitz. You can probably imagine when we're in the same room together what kind of a performance of truth you get when you put us together, and I hope that in the near future we'll be able to come together. I miss him terribly and would like to lecture with him so that we can begin to tell you that these aberrations that are before us will disappear when our eyes are open and we are able to see that this is not adding up. And in doing so, we get real good at it. You know, May used to talk about, you know, things, and she used to lead us to books, and she used to say, you ought to read that book, Murderville, USA, and talk about, it talks about the untimely early deaths of a lot of people, and makes connections with the Nazis and oil industry, and the defense security, and the defense department, and then she starts off with, say, you know, just go on ahead and go to Texas, and I say, yeah, I do go to Texas, you know, even the whole Louisiana Purchase and all of that, and the whole thing, when you look at Texas, is a very interesting place to look at, and how, you know, Cotton, Texas, yeah, back when Johnson was in power, you know, was trying to break hold of the Eastern establishment. And I truly believe that in 1947, the Eastern establishment sent to Texas George Bush to bring it under control and to take a lot of the wind out of Jesse Jones's you know, power and all of that. You have to understand, you know, Texas, and then you get to the John Conways and the Tom Colonies and then you get to the Johnsons and you know, Sam Early Johnson and Rayburn, and you start to look at the Democratic Party, and then you put the Kennedys in there, and it gets real interesting around 1960. And the way Johnson played it off and everything is very interesting. I mean, just do your homework. I mean, it's better than anything. You know, they all liken Obama to Robert F. Kennedy. That's just a little too, that's just a little too obvious to what they may be setting us up for, you know. But if you do, it just gives you a chance to go look at Robert F. Kennedy, and then you'll see what kind of enemy he made of Johnson when he was running with his brother. His brother was always sending him to do the dirty work, you know. Hey, go tell Johnson to get off the ticket, because we never really meant for him to accept, you know, but they had to offer, and they never expected him to take the offer. Why would you give up your powerful, you know, position in the Senate to be vice president? You know, it's like John Nance Garner said, it's like he's about as exciting as a warm pitcher of spit, you know, and other people. There's just nothing that you can do about it. And Johnson knew that, but somehow or another, he had a talk with somebody. He had a talk with Rayburn. He had a talk with some other people. And at first, they was all against it. But then somebody called him on the telephone. And I believe that somebody was in Chicago. And that somebody was representing the organized crime in this, in a syndicate and everything, and said, look, we got both sides covered now that Hughes is gone. And, you know, they kidnapped him in 1957. They killed Anastasia. They sent the whole organized crime and the whole thing and the corporations and the Defense Department and the whole munitions department. They just upset it all because it was all coming into the jet age, and they all wanted it under their one control. And they wanted it under this, not neo-fascist or neo-Nazi, but a continuation of the Nazi agenda. They just translated it and brought it back over here to America. So if the things look like fascism, it is, you know. If you stand on the line, they say they're going to shoot you if you don't take the shot. That's fascism, you know. You know, I know that you all know what I'm talking about, those of you who listen. I just need for you to tell other people that this stuff is incredible. But it all takes in Reagan, it takes in Bush, it goes back and forward, it talks about money, it talks about millions of dollars going to Dallas. It talks about the Omaha, Nebraska connections, and that takes you to Warren Buffett. And you know, everybody know who Warren Buffett is. You know, everybody says Hathaway. Now, why don't you try Howard Buffett? Top that in the essay. His father, he's an only child of a representative who was wheeling and dealing with before he was born. And what I'm saying is I really believe that he is going to swoop down and pick up everything. He's just waiting. It's a game, folks. He's part of that whole Bush network, too. These guys, you know, what they're accusing Obama of being is what they are. That's what I find so incredible about this whole thing, that we're even talking about it, because if everybody does their homework, they'll see. And this isn't his behavior, it's the other side's behavior. This is the Bush's behavior. This is the Clinton's behavior. This is how they behave. That's why they hang out together. Birds of a feather flock together. You go to church every Sunday, you'll soon be a member. This is just how it is. You can't get next to stinky and nasty and criminal and not have it get on you and not have some of that stench last for a while. Like I said, our deep travel with us from afar, and what we have been makes us what we are. You know? Type in and you get to the P2 and you start to talk about it, you start to see we have and are living in a band-aid society. And I know that no one is really interested in getting to the justice and the truth, because it would just horrify you for you to have to sit through these kind of hearings. So nobody wants to do it. Everybody's like, well, if you promise not to do it no more, we'll make it all go away and we'll play a better day. But it don't get any better. It don't get any better, and it don't get any better. We are talking about a scandal that reaches all the way up to the White House, a scandal that has been considerably brewing for years, decades, that is poised and ready to blow our minds and to capture our attention and to put us under domination. It is the absolute last desperate move of a parapolitical society, paramilitary political society, I should say. And it's the same kind of thing that was going on over there when Germany and Japan and Italy and everybody was trying to carve up the world. As long as man sees the world as a place to just carve up and try and make a living and isn't really careful about what they're doing, you're going to see this kind of evil side always coming to the forefront. And we better be ready, because they're regenerating and the brotherhoods are happening, and they've never really gone anywhere. I mean, when you start to talk to May through these tapes that she has left us, and just go on over there to maybrussell.com and pick yourself up the disc. With it, you get the whole, I mean, I imagine what May would be saying today, and she will be talking to us through the day about the 911. I mean, because she was talking about these people, what they would do. And 911 was just a prelude. It's kind of like, if you think this is the end, it's not. They're itching. Why are these guys getting old? And if they got to go, we got to go. The fun's over. I mean, they don't really have too much allegiance to their own kind, because they're poisoning the earth, and they breathe the air, they breathe everything. But the other side of it is they're getting ready to go up to space and do. Oh, talk about news. And, you know, it's kind of funny. They went all the way to Mars to fail, in a way. They they went all the way up there, and somehow or another, they ain't able to analyze the sample of soil. They can't get the thing to work. So now, you say to yourself, well, that's kind of interesting. They thought that the soil up there was going to be dusty, like the moon, I guess. Which kind of lets me wonder if they ever did go to the moon, maybe. You know, because I would imagine, I thought about it for a minute, and I said, my goodness, you know, the millions and billions of dollars that we're spending to go all the way to Mars and to set it down on the surface and to set up all these solar panels and all these little, tiny little miniature laboratories, and we get to scoop it and gets this dirt in there and it drops it into the little experimental well, and it don't breed nothing. And they have to come up with 100 reasons why they couldn't think to have a little miniature pulverizer or something, should they come up with that kind of a situation where they could just run it through the pulverizer, you know, have a little grinder or something before it goes onto the tray, anything. But they anticipated scooping up dust, you see. Now, why would they anticipate scooping up dust and not hard, looking at the surface, seeing dust? Because they've been coveted and covering this whole idea that they went to the moon. And for me, one more time, I'm like 69 to now, I'm kind of holding out for the Stanley Kubrick, you know, kind of explanation that it was all a farce. And so now you bring that forward and you have everybody believing the lie, and they're trying to have a correlation between the moon and Mars that, I see something there. I don't know if anybody, but some people say, oh, boss, you just stretching it now. I'm kind of bored, you know. But that's the way I think, because, you know, it's very true when you look at some of those photographs and everything. You wonder how that flag is waving, you know, in that motionless atmosphere. They've got some reason. Maybe they had a fan. They can come up with, you know, the lie can always be dressed up, you know. But the truth, they don't need to be dressed up. You can say it 100 times. That's what my father said, standing on a lie is like standing on an ice cube. Yeah, you know, it's important that we now think about these things, you know, because Howard Buffett. So you type Howard Buffett in and you find out what he believed in. And what he believed in, the right thing to do, is to make the gold, the redeemable, the dollar redeemable in gold. Instead, we should be taking steps to protect ourselves. Well, he certainly did teach his son how to do that, to protect his very ear, you know. And I find it interesting, and a lot of you out there need to understand, there's a reason why George Bush dropped down and stopped in Omaha, Nebraska. You know? He had to give his sympathies and say, well, I'm so sorry, but I can't come to your golf classic. I was thinking about kind of swing by and surprise you. We could have ourselves a little bang-bang time, but I can't go because I got to go and deal with this Trade Center thing. So Warren, he said, oh, that's all right. I got enough company here. I'll just have my little golf classic on September 11, 2001. They was playing golf. The major corporation. And like a lot of people really understand and maybe don't know, isn't it a coincidence that the woman who is one of the most high up people that deal with the money and stuff for this one corporation is where the plane went straight into it. And she was at the golf, the boss was out of town. So I'm sure everybody was, I hope there's some of you that are left. I'll get her name next week. I found that so interesting. My research comes so fast as I'm doing this, so I have to keep putting it out because it don't make no sense. But when I read the press release for 2001, I can see our president, Mr. President, is a psychopath. I mean, you know, get back to work. It's normal. We're going to find the people who did this. This is not how people talk when, you know, thousands of people were in shock. This is not how you talk, you know. And when you watch this man, you just wonder, you know, is anybody home? But this is what I'm talking about when you talk about self-deception and you talk about all the different kinds of shock treatments and ways in which people are desensitized from their feelings and behave. This is the thing, you know. It won't stop. I'll tell you, it is not going to stop until we get wise, you know. And that is what is necessary. So that's why I talk every Sunday, which is the first day of the week. Get y'all charged up. You're listening to Mission Possible Radio Hour. Yeah, that's right, and I'm the boss. And I'm just doing my little overview here, my little historical program called Mission Possible Radio Hour. I am happy because now I am able to. You know, I had a whole thing I was going to prepare here to just talk about how it all works and where we went wrong and how, you know, when Obama talks about, you know, the America that he knew or the America that he wants to know, I'm still confused about the America that was formed way back when, you know, because they didn't agree back then. It's the characteristic of Americans to disagree. But when you begin to murder people and slander people and try to entrap people or poison people, I guess you have to draw the line, don't you? You know, that's very important that we draw the line. But that's what the whole thing here is, you know, when you talk about the fall, and like I said, Joseph Campbell. Because we have a decision to make, and that decision is to reject evil or to accept it in all its forms and to allow it to run its course. I am an advocate of letting evil run its course. Let it trip it, it can't go very far. It's stupid. And that the majority of the people in the world are good. And just because a fool get on board the peace train don't mean it's going to go in a different direction. Ain't that right, all you BBS listeners out there? Yeah, I'm coming up on my almost, I got 7 minutes left. I want to tell you, I want to encourage you to investigate Live H2O. I have everything to do with that happening that's going to be happening. I can only tell you it's something to be planning something for June 19th, 2009, and to be somewhere specific on that date and know exactly what you are going to be doing and the joy that you can imagine when we fulfill this mighty quest. I can only tell you that the hope of the world is in toning, the hope in the world is in zooming in and tuning in to the right frequency and manipulating the frequencies to heal as opposed to, you know, having us submit. It can go the opposite way. We are still holding on to a thread. I mean, you know, we had a lifeline and now it's like whittled down to and is stretched out as thin as it can possibly be, and we got to keep on holding on to that. And it is that faith that I have in America that when it becomes aware, it will do what is necessary to confront evil and to at least put it on the spot to explain itself so that we can take a breath, you see. right now, people are asking questions. Oh, do you believe that whoever the president is, should they be talking to this one or that one or this world leader? It makes you wonder where everybody thinks the UN is, or where everybody thinks the World Health Organization is, or where any of the other governments of the world are. But you have to be careful, and I want you all to be very careful when you look at Germany, when you look at Russia, when you look at Italy, when you look at all these governments, because they're just as under the gun as we are. That in all of their governments, the very same people that got let go are running those governments, and the descendants of those people are running those governments, and they are working with this government that made all those governments possible. And when you start to see it, you see the threads that they never let go. And when you start to look at all of the South American all that stuff that was going down there, Pinochet, and how we upheld dictators, but you have to look, and you have to care, and you have to know that it's going to come back on us one day, and we have to explain ourselves. And it's better for us to be explaining ourselves and saying, yes, we were very aware, and we stood here, and here's my spin on it, and my spin's the same spin as yours. This is wrong, you know. And then they can say, well, why didn't you do anything about it? And I said, I did something about it every Sunday. I did something about it every day of my life. Come and get me. You see, but they don't want people like me because we talk too much and we talk the truth too much and we know too much. So it's better to ignore us. That's the beauty, my gecko guru. That's the beauty of BBS. That's the beauty of throwing your money down and saying, I want a show. And when you don't have no money, someone believing in you and letting you do your show. That's the beauty of love and God working in our lives. So, for all you young people out there that are wondering what it is that I'm talking about, you have to open up not the history books that you're reading in school now, but you got to go to the used bookstores and you got to get a look at the copyrights. And I challenge you to find a history book that was written prior to 1938. Pick it up and look at it. Okay, and there you will see the development of the American system of government and how it got out of the people's hands and how the corporations who were then allowed to parade themselves as personal interest, as private citizens having the same rights, habeas corpus and all the other things that we have, usurped our government with our knowledge. That's what's so incredible, because we're such idiots when it comes to development. We're such idiots when it comes to technological wonders. Here, have a cell phone. No, thank you. No thinking. Just here. This will make your life easier. Yes, it does. But it might make your life shorter. I don't say that. So, with that, I'm going to do my tight show. You know, I have 2 minutes left. I am serious. I tried to let you know that I think a lot about what I'm saying to you before I say it to you. It's not something I'm making up as I go along. I research during the week. I pray during the week. I watch and I hear and I listen to people. And they really believe in Obama. So I'm praying for Obama, like I'm praying for McCain, like I pray for all of you, that the truth will become known, and that the killing and the dying and the biting and the boundaries and the commissions and the attitudes and the plans and the droughts and the disease and the deaths and all the D words all go away. Like I said in the beginning of this show, we'll cage the rage, we'll dry all tears, we'll end all suffering and destroy all fears, we'll stop the greed and we'll end all wars, and this earth will be paradise like it was before. Someone said long ago we would have to decide exactly when we would take this ride. Someone said surely down on earth it would be a mystery, so we filled the earth with clues because we knew even then who would win and who would lose. I love you all. I hope that you will stay tuned to whoever's coming up next. If you want to get more, just go into the archives. Go back to June 17th, download it, and follow me up to the present, and I will tell you why gold is going up and down the way it's going up and down. But get yourself some in the future. I love you all. Take care. Be back in your face. BBSRadio.com. This is Boss RJ saying aloha.